scripture I'm going to end with, but I was thinking about Thursday. I was sitting out there talking to Stacy. I was watching Cash play football. And, I mean, Marionville couldn't do nothing at the first quarter. And I told Larry, I said, the second touchdown that Marionville scored, I said, I was standing outside the football field. And Cash went up the middle, and I said, it sounded like high school kids hitting shoulder pads. But he went into the end zone and scored a touchdown. And I told Stacy, I said, I'm going to leave this non-contact sport and go watch Lucy play volleyball, which is a high-contact sport. And if you watch Lucy, it's pretty intense. Her picture is on Ozone, and we're going to have it, Lucy, we're going to have it framed and put right up here. Lauren, could you pull that up and put that on? Okay. But anyway, she is. She's good, yeah. But anyway, what I was saying, Stacy kept texting me the score. Well, when I left, the score at halftime was 14-6. But at the end of the game, it was 42-12. So it looked like when I left, it looked like it was going to be a tight game. But here's the deal. Marionville just kept doing what they was doing. And I told Larry what happened, and he agreed with me. Of course, I left at halftime. I said, Diamond was bigger. I mean, there was guys, Cash is the biggest kid, but there was guys as big, if not bigger, than Cash. But I said, the second half, the little guys wore down the big guys and just run away with it. And that's how we need to look at what we're going through right now. It may look like it's impossible. I mean, I was watching that Sean, what's his name? Yeah. Did you see it? Did you see where he went to Chicago and the police was trying to confiscate all the equipment? And he talked about loving the police. He said, we know that they're just doing what they're commanded to do. But they started worshiping and praising. And they wouldn't let him have an intercom system. And he said, get me a megaphone. He had a little bitty megaphone. He talked about how important he felt like the police was. Well, you know what happened? A police officer brought a big megaphone on a mic and held it while they talked. So you think that prayer don't change anything? You know, the gates of hell cannot prevail against us. And what that means, gates is a place of judgment. In the Old Testament, judgment was passed down at the gates. Well, that means the kingdom of darkness will not prevail against the kingdom of light when judgment comes. So I'll pray and then I'll get started. Well, Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you that it is true. And Father, I thank you that what went on in this nation yesterday with the prayer walk and praying in the plaza in Washington, D.C., the return and what was done there. And Father, this Jewish holiday, what this represents, Father. And as your word says, that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways, I will heal from heaven and I will heal their land. Well, Father, we know that healing is taking place in this nation right now. And Father, we know that the gates of hell cannot prevail against the gates of heaven or the body of Christ, Father, because we have been given dominion and authority over all of the works of the enemy. And Father, we will not bow down. We will not cow down. But Father, we will stand up boldly and proclaim the goodness of our God. And Father, we will go to war against the kingdom of darkness and everything it stands for. And Father, just like this morning, when we prayed and we released God's word over Bobby, over Sherry and Greg and Greggy, and Dad, Father, that we released your power in anointing into each and every one of them. Now, Father, as they take it and receive it, your word says the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. And Father, I thank you that every prayer that the body of Christ prays according to your will is answered. And Father, I thank you of the great testimonies that is coming out of this nation, out of this state, this county, and this town. And from this day forward, we receive turnaround in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm going to talk about belief and faith. They're the same thing. You know, some people say, well, I don't believe that. Well, what do they believe? If we say, you know, that, you know, God says, or Jesus said to pray for the sick and they will be healed. And, you know, some people say, well, I don't believe that. Well, their belief is what they'll have. If we don't believe that Jesus gave us authority to rule our lives or the world that we live in, then that would mean that we're nothing but a victim at times. Just like the deal, if we didn't believe that God had given us authority, dominion and authority over this world, we wouldn't have come in agreement with Sherry. We wouldn't have prayed for Bobby. We wouldn't have laid hands on that. And Larry wouldn't have done what the Lord told him to do. So that's what we have got to be confident that Jesus has dominion and authority over everything. And he's given that to us. He said, you know, whenever he defeated Satan, he said all dominion and authority was, you know, it was given to him, and he's given it to us. So we don't need to allow or even think that Satan or any circumstance can trump, you know, our authority. It's just like, you know, playing cards. A higher card you trump, you know, or if you're playing spades, you know what I'm saying? There's a trump card. But there's nothing that can trump the authority that God's given us. There's not any sickness or any disease or any part of the curse has not got dominion or authority over what Jesus did at the cross. And here's the thing. The body of Christ has got, Cherry told me, I said I need to quit saying we've got to change the way we think. What did you tell me I need to say? We're changing the way we're thinking. We're not going to think anymore that, well, I've got to live with this for the rest of my life. Whether it be sugar diabetes, heart disease. See, God didn't create us to have it.
He did.
And it doesn't matter what the doctors say or what the world says. They don't dominion and authority. We can do it through Christ Jesus. And this, for example, I was telling Dad the other day that Mac Hammond, I don't know how many people know him, but he was diagnosed with prostate cancer. And he went to the doctor and they said, well, the only way to take care of this is to remove your prostate. Lauren, turn that down a little bit. And he said, God give me a prostrate. He created me with a prostrate. If I wouldn't have needed it, he wouldn't have given it to me. I can kind of understand that because he's talking like I would. And he said, I'm not going to have my prostrate removed. I'm just going to believe for it. And he was totally healed of it. And another testimony. That's why it's so good to tell testimonies. Because when a testimony is told, remember what I said? The same anointing is released for that to happen again. Stephanie, I don't know, some of you might not know it, but Larry and I, Stephanie had a tooth that they told her, said, there's no way we can save it. Stephanie said, well, I'm not losing it. I prayed for it, and I'm not losing it. I don't care what you say. And she said, I'm not losing it. And they said, well, if we can save it, we'll put that cap on it for free. Well, me and Larry, Stephanie, we pray. We come to agreement. That's where I say we get our prayers answered.
See what I'm saying?
They're the ones messing out, not me and you. But anyway, so Stephanie went to the dentist. Well, text me and learn. Well, guess what? They said my tooth was able to be saved. And they capped it, and then they was going to charge her for the cap. She said, hold on a minute. Said, he told me that if that tooth was able to be saved, that he wouldn't charge me for the cap, which is $1,600. So, the little nurse walked back there, come back, she said, that's right. Well, hey, Stephanie told Jeannie about that tooth, how I bleed for the tooth. Now, I don't know Jeannie that well. You know, I know her fairly good, but I don't know, you know, I know she's Catholic. And so she told Stephanie this week, Stephanie told me, says, Stephanie, I did what you did. Stephanie said, what are you talking about? She said, I prayed over my tooth. She said, I lost a cap. It took me forever to find it because the cap was the same color as my countertop in my bathroom. She said, when I found it, she said, I prayed that I wouldn't lose this tooth. They'd be able to put the cap back on and reuse it. She went to the dentist. Guess what? They saved the tooth. They were able to reuse the cap. Now, here's the deal. What happened? Stephanie sowed a seed, and it got down in to Jeannie's spirit. Jeannie thought, well, if God did that for her, he could do that for me. So why is it important for us to tell about the things that God's did for us? Because it releases that anointing, okay? And it changes the way we believe. Because here's the thing. A lot of times, we've been taught, well, or maybe we've just caught it, well, there's nothing I can do about this. I'm just going to have to put up with it. But that's a lie. Because we've been created in God's image. And if God come up against something that didn't line up with his word, what did he do? Well, there ain't nothing I can do about this darkness. I guess we'll just have to live with it. Well, he said, light be. And light was. So what we believe will affect the way we live our life. Okay? You know, we can't ever allow anybody to tell us that habit can't be broken. Or, well, my kids are rebelling against me and God. There's nothing I can do about it. Or I just don't get the right breaks to get out of this hole. We're the one that determines our outcome. That's why it's so important for us to say what God says. Like I say, what we believe is how we'll live our life. We'll either be a victim or a victor. You know, that's the reason we have got to be absolutely convinced that Jesus Christ has all authority. And if we don't believe that, that's why it's so hard for some people to live a life of faith. Because they're not really confident. You know what I'm saying? Well, I don't know if God really wants me to do this or if it's really God's will. That's why it's so important for us to be in the Word. That's why it's so important to pray. I was listening to Will Graham yesterday, and he said that his grandpa, Billy Graham, told him, said, you need to do less preaching and more praying. And he said, what, are you holding your hand up?
Yeah.
You need to do less preaching and more praying. No. Go ahead. You can come up here.
What Terry said earlier, almost word for word, the word she said about vision for the rest of her life, that's exactly what I prayed over here for her before I went over and put my hand on her. It was like her time of sickness is
And you know, the thing about it is, that's what God's got in store for every one of us. That's the reason the devil tries to put symptoms on us. He tries to affect our calling. There's not one person in here that hasn't been anointed for 120 years. Pauline's more anointed now than she was when she was a pastor here. Well, I'm a lot more anointed now than I was when I started. But I'm just saying, see, as we mature, our anointings grow and mature. But we have got to be absolutely confident that Jesus has given us dominion and authority over any work of the devil, anything that he brings against us. In Genesis 1, 26 through 28, Terry, you can read it up there.
Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth."
For us to be fruitful and multiply, what that means is to, when Jesus walked the earth, he did what God commanded Adam. He was fruitful, and he did multiply. What did he multiply? He multiplied the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. And that's what we're to do. As the body of Christ, that's how we're fruitful. Like whenever we pray for someone, that's what Jesus did. And what do we do? Whenever we lay hands on the sick and pray for them, what we're doing, we're believing that God has anointed us and he is using us for an instrument to funnel his anointing of healing through us. It ain't got nothing to do with us, naturally. Because the Bible said, Jesus said, "I, my own self, can do nothing." Well, if Jesus can do it, what makes us think we can? But here's the thing. There's not anything, it says, that we're to have dominion over everything that creeps and crawls on the earth. Anything that moves, really. And that means, that's what I, in that prayer yesterday, and they prayed and they broke the bonds of that coronavirus. Well, you think, well, why? How could you pray for that? Right there. That scripture says we've been given dominion and authority over. And what's the Bible say? Whatsoever things we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth will be loose in heaven. So, we're to be fruitful and to multiply and fill the earth with people in God's image. You know, right now, I mean, you can look at what's going on in the nation, and it's really an antichrist spirit that's going on. It's the antichrist rising up. But he has no authority. But see, that's what the body of Christ, that's what I got, I was lit, that Sean there in Chicago, and Black Lives Matter come up, and this one black guy was hollering. There was a black man. There was a preacher there, and his wife was white. And this black guy tried to intimidate. And say, "I love the black man," or something like that. She said, "God loves all men." And said, "Say Black Lives Matter." And she said, "No." She said, "All lives matter." And then he kept trying to heckle her, and she said, "I'm not going to give him the time of day." And then this guy you can hear said, "Man, she's married to a black man." So the, but here's this, what I'm trying to get to. They had no defense for the love of God being spread. I mean, that's worshiping. And see, that's what the body of Christ needs to realize, that whenever we worship, I mean, worship is emotional. I mean, everything we pray, you can feel the emotion. And now, the Israelite people were they're emotional people. But the thing about it is, whenever we're not moved by emotion, but whenever we're worshiping, it gets emotional. You know, like yesterday when I was watching that the march over Washington D.C. and the World War II monument that I've been to, that has every name of every state in the Union, and there's a star. For how many, Jake, what's that star represent? I think each star is 50 soldiers that was killed in that state in World War II. And as I watched that and would see people laying their hands on the name of that state and praying, I mean, the Spirit would just move me. And I mean, just like right now, just the Spirit of the Lord's moving. And you know, I told Terry, I said, man, don't you know God's up there saying, look at what's going on. Now, here's the deal. We've learned that Jesus is always interceding for our... So Jesus said, hey, look here, Father. All these people that are praying for this nation to turn around, well, they're repenting for the sins of the abortion, you know, the pedophiles. I mean, it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. It didn't say that everyone had to humble themselves and pray. It said, if my people. Well, God's people filled the mall in Washington, D.C. and was praying. And that's whenever Ricky Skaggs said, I felt a shift in the spirit realm. That's Terry, whenever you give her that word, she said, I don't know what it was, but I felt so. She felt a shift. That's how each one of our lives, like Dad, whenever we laid hands on him, I'm going to guarantee you he felt something. And what that is that shift. Now here's the deal. There's not any sickness or any disease that hasn't already been taken care of. You know, it's like, I mean, what the devil intended for evil, God will turn to good. Here's the thing. The devil's trying to shut us up. And it's not about how good we are or what we do, but it's about the grace of what God did for us. And the thing about what's so hard is we've been taught or thought or however you want to say it, that we have to earn it. But we don't have to earn nothing. We just have to receive it. And that's the hardest thing for a person to do in the natural, is to receive something. God told us, you know, he gave us dominion and authority, and he said for us to subdue, you know, the earth. Really subdue everything God created. There's not anything on this earth that God hasn't created. He says to subdue it. Well, what does subdue mean? Does anybody know? Bring under control. To quiet. Or to overcome. So there's not anything that the devil brings against us that we haven't been given dominion and authority to overcome it. Or to make it be quiet. To quiet it. Or to bring it under God's control, which is under our control. You know, God, Jesus is the head of the church, but we're the body of the church. Well, you know what? When I go pour concrete, I don't pour it with my head. protects my body. Now, here's the deal. My head's got the knowledge, but my body does the work. That's the same way with the body of Christ. Jesus is the head of the church. That's where the knowledge comes from. That's when we pray and we ask God for wisdom. That's where the knowledge comes from. But it takes the body to get the job done. The reason the nation is in the shape that it was in, it's changed. It changed as of yesterday. Because God's people humbled themselves and prayed. And also, they're talking about from dusk tonight till dusk tomorrow night to fast and pray. And every Jew, every Jewish person on the face of the earth will do that tonight. Well, you know what? I told Terry, I said, don't worry about it. I'm not eating after dusk. Because what am I going to do? I'm going to come in agreement with the whole Jewish nation. Because here's the deal. They're not only God's people, but how are they praying? I'll guarantee you they're praying for Yeshua's will to be done. The Messiah's will to be done. So I'm going to come in agreement with them. And the thing about this election that we're coming up against, that's why it's important for us to pray. And the biggest part of praying is not us doing all the talking. A lot of us doing a lot of listening. Because I can't remember who that older man was. He was praying and he said, here lies the fool doing all the talking to someone who knows everything. You know, and that's what we got to do. We pray whenever we don't need to pray as a last resort. That should be the first thing. And and here's the thing. We should be just like John 14:9. And Jesus said, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. And that's the way we should be. Anyone who has seen us has seen the Father. You know, Jesus overcame the curse not only at the cross, but every time he came in contact with it. I mean, just think about it. It says, well, here, Jesus healed all who came to him. That's Luke 4:40. If you want, Lauren said, how many scriptures do you have? So go ahead and read that, Terry. But anyway, whenever we pray through the name of Jesus. That's just like Jesus laying hands on. All we are is a vessel. And the anointing, healing anointing that was in Jesus is flowing through us. Luke 6:19.
And all the people were trying to touch him, for all power was coming from him and healing them all.
And that's the power that was in Jesus, that's in Jesus. That anointing is Jesus was Christ. It says Jesus Christ. Christ is the anointed one. So many people say in Christ's name. Well, what? That's not right. Christ wasn't his name. Jesus was his name. Jesus Christ, the anointed one. So when we pray, we come to Jesus. Or we come to God in the name of Jesus, just like we learned on Wednesday night. And Jesus is interceding for us. And if Jesus quieted the storm, I mean, we know that whenever he was in the ship asleep, you know, and the storm rose up and they woke him up, and they said, Lord, Mark 4:35 through 41, but they said,
Jesus himself was
here's the deal. How could Jesus be in the stern asleep and water and the wind blowing, you know, and coming over? Because he knew what he said was going to come to pass. He knew he was called to go to the other side. And he was resting. It didn't matter what it looked like. And that's what, whenever we pray, doesn't matter what we look, what it looks like, that shows us we're to rest in what God's Word says. By the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. It don't matter how the wind's blowing or how we're being tossed to and fro, or if it doesn't look like that we've got enough to pay our bills and have money left over. The Bible says that he's not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging for bread. He said we'll have all sufficiency in all things. So what we've got to do is we've got to be like Jesus. When we speak the word that God gave us, which is his written word, by the stripes of Jesus we're healed. Whenever the storm tries to arise, we're asleep. And when we wake up, what do? Peace be still. I mean, I've talked, you know, there's times I'd be asleep and be woke up and my body just, Billy, be talking to me. I say, that doesn't belong to me and I'm not taking it. And everything in me would like for me to get concerned. But you know what I do? If I can't go back to sleep, I just pick up my Bible. I start reading my Bible. But here's the thing. I'm confident that Jesus has given me and every one of you dominion and authority over your world, over your life. What we say over ourselves is how our life will be affected. And, you know, for example, you've heard me talk about seeing the tornado coming down, and Terry and I was driving home, we could see the funnel cloud. And I told her, I said, get back up there. You're not coming down. Terry thought I was hateful because there's some storm watchers there. And they said, there's a tornado. I said, Terry, go on. Don't pay them no attention.
I thought we should say hi.
And she was afraid. I'd say, well, if you'd talk to that storm, it'd go back up there instead of filming it. But I mean, that's the kind of mindset we got to have. Whenever we come up against the wall, we don't just stop. We just keep hitting the wall. And pretty soon you'll knock a hole in it. You know? But here's the deal. Jesus brought the whole world under control. Colossians 1:17, Lauren. So, Jesus, I mean, whenever we pray to Jesus for our health, healing is held together by him. You know what I'm saying? What translation do you have, Terry? Go to Hebrews 1:3. Yeah, Lauren, just... scripture right there, when we pray, I mean, we have to see ourselves as being healed. We're not trying to receive our healing. It's already been paid for. What we have to do to be healed, because as far as God's concerned, it's already been paid for. We just got to receive it. And Jesus multiplied, and that's what we're supposed to do. Says, go forth and multiply. In Acts 1:15, it says, at this time, Peter stood up in the midst of the brethren, a gathering of about 120 persons was there together. Okay, go to Acts 2. 37, Lord. And now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Brother, what shall we do? 41, Lord. So then those who had received his word were baptized. And that day they were added about, how many? 3,000 souls. Went from 120 to 3,000. Okay. And they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowshipping, to and breaking the bread and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. Okay. But see, that was after Jesus died and rose again. That's what we're supposed to do as the body of Christ. See, we're the church of Acts. And we're supposed to multiply the kingdom of heaven. Not be moved by what's going on. And every born-again child of God is called to do what Jesus did. Overcome every sickness. Lay hands on the sick. Because the same anointing that was in Jesus, your saves in you. Jesus replied, truly, truly, I tell you that the Son can do nothing by himself unless he sees the Father do it. For whatsoever the Father does, the Son does also. We are to do the Father's will on this earth, just like Jesus did. And like I said, it's whenever we pray in faith. That's what we do. Whenever, like when we prayed for Dad, we prayed in faith. Then Dad's faith connects with our faith, and that's what we see. That's, you see what I'm saying? So, I mean, how many times, and I've done this, how many times have you just thrown a prayer up and not have any faith behind it? Kind of like I've seen kids go to the bathroom, you know, and taking wet toilet paper and throw it up on the ceiling just to see if it sticks. That's how a lot of people pray. Oh, I have. But I mean, you think about it. That's how a lot of people pray. They pray and just throw it up there and just hope it sticks. But when we pray with faith that God has already taken care of what we're praying for. That's what I say. That's whenever we know that the dominion and authority over all the works of the enemy has been put under our control, it changes the way we pray. Because, I mean, whenever I was a kid, and even whenever I first started pastoring up here, when I'd pray, for people, I'd think, I don't know if this is going to work or not. What was I doing? I was relying on my own authority or my own ability. But now, whenever I pray for something, all I am is just a vessel. It's just like yesterday, we was working on our corral, and I went out to start the welder, and hit the starter, and it wouldn't start. The battery's dead. So Jake pulled his truck down there, and Sam went and got a little bitty pair of extension cords, or jumper cables. Oh, I tell you what, they was a miserable looking pair of jumper cables. This real little and stuff. And I just pulled them apart so we could get them around there. And after Jake hooked it up, Sam put his on the negative and I put mine on the positive. And Sam tried to start it, and it wouldn't start. And I said, just let it sit there for a minute. But it said, no, we didn't practice 2 minutes, and then we hit the starter, and it started. Well, see, here's the deal. Those jumper cables didn't have anything to do with starting that pickup. Their ability, only thing they were something to conduct the power to the dead spot. That's all we are. Well, I mean, you know, when I look at, I see things a little bit different than each other, everything. Whenever I lay my hands on somebody, all my hands are is kind of like those jumper cables. It's the power that's inside of me, and all I'm doing is just allowing the healing or whatever God's told me to pray for or whatever that person, I'm just allowing His power to flow through my arms just like those jumper cables. And here's the thing. So many times when we pray and hit the starter and it goes, well, it didn't work. That battery's dead. That ain't going to work. We don't say, let's let that charge a little bit. When we back up, we start praying in the Spirit. And what's the Spirit of God? When you pray in the Spirit, what's it do? It edifies you. You know what edifying is? To charge you. So whenever we pray, and it feels like, we hit the starter and it just grunts. Don't give up. Don't take your hands off. I mean, if we'd have took the negative or the positive off, it's like, this ain't going to work. We'd have never got that welder started. But we left it on and we allowed it to charge. So whenever we're praying, that's why it's so important that whenever we pray for somebody, we just don't reach up there and just start praying. What we do is we pray in the Spirit, and whenever we feel like, now God's telling me to lay hands on, that's whenever we do it. And what we're doing, we're releasing His power. You know, you ever go to a car lot, they carry a little battery pack. I mean, you can carry it in your hand, and you just put it on there, and I mean, it just immediately starts. And see, that's whenever we pray in the Spirit, and then, you know, we feel moved to lay hands on them. When we lay hands on them, that's when that power immediately enters that person or that situation. So, that's what, you know, Jesus, just think about that. That woman just touched the hem of His garment. I mean, He was edified. And that's why it's so important, you know, like I said, for us to pray, to take time in prayer. But we need to know that all authority has been given to Jesus in heaven and earth. And Jesus tells us in Matthew 28, 18, 19, Jesus tells us to go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. The Father loves the Son, and He's given all authority to Him. You know, whenever Jesus came to earth and walked this earth out, He did it as a man. He gave up His authority as God, and He came down here and walked out this earth as a man. Why did He do that? So you and I could do that. There's not one temptation that Jesus was tempted with that He gave into. So that tells us that every temptation that the devil brings against us, we've got dominion and authority over. But how do we do it? How do we overcome it? How did Jesus overcome it? He spoke to it. And you know, Philippians 2:10 says, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, all those in heaven and on earth and under the earth. So whenever we pray in the name of Jesus, that's what we're talking about on Wednesday night. When we pray in the name of Jesus, every sickness has to bow. Not because of anything we do, but it's just like those jumper cables. Because we're allowed the power to flow through us. You know, that's like them jumper cables. They wasn't no bigger around that pencil. But that they allowed the power to flow through to the dead spot. And in Luke 10:19 says, "Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you." Nothing. So, you know, whenever the devil tries to send a symptom or something to us, when we just need to laugh at it. Because it's already been defeated. It's not ours to defeat. It's already been defeated. Okay? In Psalms 8:6, it says, "You made him to rule over the works of your hand. You have put all things under his feet." Well, he's our head, the head of the church. We're the body. So if it's under his, it's under his nose or his mouth, where's that? Under his feet. Well, who's his feet? You and I are. I mean, my body is over my feet. So it doesn't matter if I'm the little toe on the foot. All dominion and authority has been given to my little toe. And that's how we've got, that's how we see ourselves now. Terry's about got me trained, believe it or not. You and I have to know that God is full of authority. And when he asks us to do something, he's authorizing us to be his instrument. For example, when he says, "Lay hands on the sick and they will recover," all we're doing is just like that jumper cables. We're just hooking in to the power source, and we're letting that power flow through us. And that power flowing through us will charge the deal. And here's the another testimony. Terry knows it, and I think Joy does, and probably Larry. But Dutch Sheets' wife had been diagnosed with, was it ovarian cancer? And he said that the doctor that they had was a Christian doctor. He said, "Allow us to pray." Said so they gave him 2 months. And he said, "God instilled in me to pray an hour a day." And he said that he did. Now, this is going to go right along with what Larry just said. And as he was praying, God showed him a vision of his hands and Cece's hands being around that cancer, and it was choking it. Okay? And that as they continued to pray, the symptoms of the cancer started going away. The pain started going away, and the symptoms started going away. And she, in the 2 months they went back, they didn't have no treatments. They didn't do nothing. But in the 2 months when they went back for a checkup, that cancer was completely gone. See, that's why God gives us visions. That's what Larry, so God showed Larry. What did you say he showed you? Uh-huh. That, but what did you say that the sickness, what did you say? Okay, so here's the deal. God showed that to Terry, or Larry. He told it to Terry. Why did he tell Terry that? Huh? Yeah, she's been believing for that for how 16 months? 13 months. She's been believing for healing for 13 months. So, God confirmed to Terry through Larry what he was wanting her to see. Because she was praying for answers. "Lord, just show me what I need to do. What, you know, do this." And that's the loving God that we serve. Well, I'm going to tell you something. There's nothing that's impossible for God. You know, I told my sister, I said, I haven't told Dad this. But I was praying one night about 3 o'clock in the morning, and I told my sister, I said, "You know what? I seen Dad cough and that deal in his esophagus come out. You know what my sister said? You want to guess? I saw the same thing. So here's the deal. Well, we're not moved by what we see in the natural. What God shows us, I'm not going to be moved off of it. And that's the way we've got to be. We've got to stand firm and not let the devil move us. You know, and God has already done everything that he needs to do to give us victory. Terry, that's New Testament or is that a full Bible? Okay, go to Daniel. I'll close with this. Daniel 7, 21 and 22. And then as she reads this, I'm going to explain it. It's between Genesis and Revelation. I figured it was. 21 and 22. That's it. That, I don't know what you're, that's a New American Standard that she put up there. But here's the deal. That prophecy is talking about the Antichrist. Okay, I mean, we can look, that Antichrist spirit is going on in the nation today. Because you look at it, and it looks like, I mean, just like, I watched two or three deals of that Sean Voight, and cities trying to shut him down on worshiping. They allow you to riot, but not worship. That's that Antichrist and the saints feeling like they're fighting a battle that it can't be won. I mean, it looked like all the Chicago's police force was there in force trying to shut him down. But here's the deal. What did they do? They weren't moved. They wouldn't let them get their amplifiers out and stuff. So he just stood up, started playing the guitar. They sang an acapella. And they'd have people saying, pray. They're trying to shut us down. They're trying to confiscate all of our stuff. Well, here's the deal. It wouldn't have mattered to them if they had confiscated everything they had. They were still going to worship. But as they worshiped, it's kind of like Cash and them playing against Diamond. It looked like, the first half, it looked like it's going to be a knockdown, drag out. But as they kept hitting that line and kept attacking that line, pretty soon that line gave way. And that's what I've noticed, that Sean Voight, every place that he's went, and like it or not, all the liberal governors or mayors are trying to shut him down. Well, they're not smart enough to know that they're allowing the spirit of the Antichrist to rise up. I mean, they don't realize that. See, it's a spiritual battle. We're in spiritual warfare. It's not about black versus white. It's about the spirit of division. And the thing about this, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through Christ for the pulling down strongholds. So we don't need to cave in to when the devil raises his head, like I say. Take that rasp and knock his teeth out. Because we've been given dominion and authority over it. And that prophecy, it balances the question of the sovereignty of God and the human's responsibility in it. Okay? God's sovereignty accomplishes the fundamental victory, and the cross achieved a decisive victory, allowing the saints the victory. But the saints, we had to step out, and we have to do what God's called us to do. Like I say, Jesus is the head, but we're the body. So you remember the testimony of Brother Hagin when Jesus was talking to him, and the little demon got up and was saying, yakety yak, and the smoke was going, and Brother Hagin said, well, I wish you'd make him be quiet or something like that, and kept saying. And finally, Brother Hagin got tired of it, and he said, shut up. And the name of Jesus or something, shut up. And the little demon just fell down crying and run off. And Brother Hagin said, Jesus, why didn't you do something about it? He said, I couldn't. If you wouldn't have, I couldn't have. Brother Hagin said, I didn't hear you right. Did you say you wouldn't have? He said, no, I said, if you wouldn't, I couldn't. And that's saying we've been given dominion and authority over all the works of the devil. So when he raises his head up, it's us that's the ones to keep him under our feet. And that's what... Who was that praying? That Sorbo or whatever, remember? When he talked, yeah, he said, he told about Smith Wigglesworth. He had a knock on the door one day. Smith Wigglesworth opened up the door and he's the devil. Smith Wigglesworth said, it's only you, and just slammed the door right back in his face. We don't have any reason to be afraid of the devil because we've been given dominion and authority over the devil. And that's why I say you, every animal, everything that creeps, there shouldn't be one time that we go, you know, Noel and them go down to Lake Texoma. There ain't no time you shouldn't catch fish. You've been given dominion and authority over all the fish. Well, how come you're not catching fish? Well, because I didn't delegate my dominion and authority. So here's the thing. God has entrusted us the responsibility to advance his kingdom. And there's times just like right now, you know, I'll guarantee you every time that Sean Voigt goes in to worship, he may be going in feeling like, man, this is a battle that I can't win. In the natural, that's what the devil's telling me. And that may be what it looks like in the natural. If you want to watch the polls about the election, well, it looks impossible. I don't care what it looks like. What's God's word says? He said it didn't matter. You know, it looked like that the Antichrist was winning. Looked like the saints were being defeated. But what happened? God passed judgment and the saints won. You know, the thing about it is the end of the book tells us what our part is. It's glory. It tells us what the devil's part is. It's a lake of fire. So, whenever we, God's called us to do something, and we step out and it looks like we're going to be defeated, as long as we will keep moving forward what God's told us, victory has already been given to us. And as we move forward, God is passing judgment on the spirit that's coming against him. Right now, because of what went on yesterday in our nation's capital, the spiritual warfare changed hands. There was a shift. And because the people, the Christians of this nation, humbled themselves and prayed, God said, I'll heal the land. Well, that's kind of like when you tithe. It says, prove me now and see if I won't open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that you cannot contain. Well, right, what happened yesterday God passed judgment. He said, you done what I told you. This nation has humbled themselves and prayed. That everyone that prayed for repentance for this nation. What the forefathers did and everything. So this nation has repented just what God told them to do. So now, healing can take place. We can't look at what it looks like, but we got to know that the final score is going to be 42-12. Because we've already outlasted the devil. I mean, he can't defeat us. But we just got to keep going and going and going. So, just remember that you can't be defeated. The only person that can change your life is you. So it's our responsibility to preach into, to prophesy into ourselves the desired outcome that we want. So just bow your heads and we'll pray. Well, Father, I thank you, Father, for the revival that is going on in this nation. Father, I thank you, Father, for the healing and the signs and the wonders that are following the body of Christ. And Father, I thank you that it's just not in the church. But Father, I thank you that it's on the street. And Father, I thank you that every time the body of Christ throughout this nation, throughout this world, comes in contact with the devil in any part of the curse, that we do just what Jesus did, and we take authority over. Father, I thank you that the body of Christ knows that the gates of hell cannot prevail against them. And Father, I thank you for boldness, and Father, I thank you for the revival that has already taken place. And Father, I thank you that the body of Christ is multiplying the kingdom of heaven. And I thank you for the thousands of souls that are being saved and taken away from the kingdom of darkness. Father, I thank you that that we are the church of Acts. And Father, I thank you that we start living like the church of Acts and we start doing exactly what your son did. Because, Father, the power and the anointing and the spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells inside of us. And we're only a vessel to be used to transfer your power and your anointing to those who are sick, those who are hurting, and those who are addicted. But, Father, I thank you that you are the one that breaks every yoke and every chain of bondage that tries to hold people in the kingdom of darkness. Father, I thank you that your son went to hell and defeated the devil openly. And Father, I thank you that we are taking back ground that the devil has stolen. And Father, I thank you that we know that whenever the devil raises his head, he's just using everything he can do because he knows that he's defeated. And I thank you that we are not moved by one of his tactics. But Father, I thank you that we are mighty in Christ. And Father, we are being used to pull down strongholds of the devil and take back this nation for the kingdom of heaven. And I thank you, Father, for what's going on in the United States of America. One nation under God. And we receive this by faith in Jesus' name. Amen.